Tim Willard.
No.
Okay, the no is one. Do you need the number?
Hey, excuse me. Hold on. Help. Hello.
That's right. All right.
Okay, I was Vanessa? Disconnected the entire time. I missed all of the discussion, all of it. So maybe the parliamentarian said something that would have made me change my vote. Since I didn't hear it, I vote yes.
All right. Anybody who passed, did you want to abstain or do you want to go ahead and vote?
Wayne Bruce abstains.
Julie votes no.
Julie?
No.
Okay, no. All right, the no wins, 3 yeses, 1 abstention, and the rest are no's. So that's not something that's going to be addressed.
Okay, thank you, Ellen.
Okay, point of information.
Yes.
Asking... There's a lot of background noise, like a huge amount of background noise. Somebody's not muted, and it's extremely distracting. But the point I want to ask is, the second I stopped speaking, I got disconnected from the sound. So I don't know what the parliamentarian said. So maybe he said something that would have addressed the question, but I would like at some point, if not already addressed, maybe somebody can fill me in, just the decency and the civility of a response.
Vanessa, what I said was call me. I said you and Kathy call me.
Okay, I missed the whole discussion. Okay, I'll call you.
Call me. You and Kathy, call me.
Okay.
And because somebody said that it was a short answer. Neither one of your questions were short answers. It would take up about 5 to 7 minutes of the LSV's time to explain adjourn, and also it would take about half of that time to explain censor. It take about 4 minutes.
But that wasn't my, all I wanted to know is why he didn't, not for him to explain it, but why he didn't answer. Why was that referred to Robert's Rules 11th edition? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, that was because the board, when I first joined, asked me not to interrupt, not to take up precious LSB time by training members like I did when we got on this Zoom call. I took up a lot of time. I kept asking for forgiveness for taking up so much time training people for this Zoom. Those two motions that you all brought up, they would take a long time as well. And they asked me, as soon as I became parliamentarian, please do not take up the LSB's time with explaining and training members on things that they could really get on their own.
I asked in an email. That wouldn't have taken up any of the time. I asked twice in an email.
Point of order.
Just call me.
Point of order.
Who is saying call me? I don't know whose voice this is.
Mr. Tatum said to call him.
I don't have his number, so if he could, somebody could send it to me, I'd be happy to do that.
I'll send it.
Point of order.
Okay. Point of order.
Point of
Martha,
order.
Point of order.
Did you say Martha?
Yes.
Yeah, we need to adhere to the time limit for each person. Excuse me?
I agree. All right. We also need to find out who that is that's not muted, and we can hear stuff in the background.
Can the host mute everybody and then open the chair's mic?
This is Kathleen. I can see everyone who's not muted. Arthur's not muted. Jay Winter Knife Wolf was not muted. Martha Peterson's not muted.
Okay. Everyone, I believe everyone is muted now. And if we can do what we originally said, is use the raise hand icon when you want to speak, then we can go from there. At this point, we have on the agenda, we have agreed on the agenda to add Donna's item in outreach and development. We have agreed to add Arthur's item in new business, first item, the second item under the programming committee, Kathleen's motions in executive session, and Vanessa's motion also in executive session. So if there's no objection, we can move to approve the agenda.
I object. Nancy, I had something for the agenda.
Okay, Nancy.
I had a motion on the agenda last meeting, and I understand it was going to be moved to this meeting. And so I sent an email with that motion again.
What is the motion, Nancy? I don't see it on this email, but you can go ahead, you can verbally.
Well, it was on, I thought it was going to automatically be moved from the last meeting to this meeting, but it wasn't. So I just sent it around a little while ago, and let me find it. It's called New Business Item, Proposal for Board Retreat.
Okay, I see that.
And that was supposed to go under New Business last time, and then when we adjourned, my understanding was that it was automatically going to be put on the agenda as Old Business for this meeting.
Okay, so Nancy sent an email, and I can read the email, or if you want to read it yourself, Nancy, you can do that since you have the floor.
Well,
and then we can vote on it.
Okay, so it's a motion proposing a board retreat. I just would like it put on the agenda. I can read the motion, you know, and then you can vote it up or down when we get to it on the agenda. I don't really want to take more time approving it and reading it, but
Okay,
but if you really want me to read it again, I mean, if you really want me to read the motion, I thought I would, you know, I can wait until that item is on the agenda.
So you're saying that this motion was on the last agenda and we didn't get to it? I mean, last month.
Right. It was under new business and we adjourned before we got to new business.
Okay.
So, okay, I will read it. It looks like some people want it read. So, motion proposing a board retreat. No, I don't want to read it, and if it's not necessary to read it. I can wait until we get to that point on the agenda.
Good.
Okay.
But you, if you want to read it, you can go to the email and read it.
Nancy, it's up on the screen.
Oh, that's great. Cool. You're screen sharing it. Okay.
So under, this will be under new business.
I don't know properly where it goes, but.
Properly where it goes is unfinished business.
Unfinished business is not on the agenda.
It comes right before new business.
Okay, so we'd have to add that because it's not on the, okay, is there any objection?
Okay, thank you.
Martha Peterson has her hand up. Lucille Perez has her hand up. Martha Peterson?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
This is a point of order. Can we adhere to the time limit that each person has to speak? I think we have a minute and a half. I think some people are going over. Can the timekeeper... Is it a minute and a half for each person?
Yes.
Can we adhere to that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Lucille Perez?
I lowered my hand.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So if there are no objections, we would like to add the agenda item from the last meeting for the retreat. Are there any objections? There being no objections, the item is added under unfinished business after the outreach and development report. Okay, so next we vote on approving the agenda. So all the items that were passed to add to the agenda, are there any objections to adding these items? I see Martha's hand up again, and I see Jay's hand up. Martha? Martha, I can't hear you.
The motion to add, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, to add Nightwolf's removal from the LSB, I voted against it. And I just feel that that's a matter for management and not for us. So I just, you know, I think that's for management. I don't think it should involve the LSB. Simple.
Marty, we already discussed it.
I know.
And voted on it. And so it's at this point, we need to move on. Jay, you have the floor. Can you unmute Jay? Can the host unmute Nightwolf?
Yes.
Nightwolf.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I had, last week I lost my sister to COVID-19. And,
sorry to hear that.
And we're going, you know, a family meeting has been called and I have to be there in about 15 minutes. So I'm going to have to leave this meeting and go take care of my family's business. So I ask all of you for prayers. She died the day before she turned 65 and she leaves three daughters and four grandchildren and a devoted husband for 45 years. And I have to go over there and help him.
My condolences, thank Jay.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Yes. Please. All my prayers are with you and your family.
Thank you. So please excuse me. I have to go. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Understood, Jay. Understood.
Thank you all.
My condolences.
Thank you.
My condolences, Jay.
Thank you. So I'll be talking to you soon.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good night. Bye.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay, so as no objections to the agenda as approved, excuse me, as amended, the agenda is approved, and the next item is approval of the minutes. And at this point, I'm gonna hand the chair over back to Sabu. If he's still on the line.
Yes, I'm still here. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Approval of the minutes. I saw earlier today that there was some question, I think Vanessa made about the agenda. I mean, the approval of the minutes, it was a word change or something. Vanessa, do you still want to clarify that? Or?
No. Ellen sent me an email, and it was my understanding that Kathleen had made the motion to disband MASC, but Ellen says that it was Ron, Ron. So I stand corrected.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the approval of the net, is there any other minute changes from the last meeting? If not, all those in favor of approving the minutes from the last meeting? Anyone who disagrees with that? Okay, the approval of the minutes passed. Okay, moving on. The management reports, I did request from Jerry a management report based on the recent development of the boycott. I didn't get that. We don't know. I don't know if y'all went over this earlier about the finance. I'm assuming that in the report, I wanted to find out what we actually made or how we did. I might have missed that earlier, so we won't be getting that. If anybody has any information on that, they can speak now. Okay. Right along. Finance Committee report, have you done that?
We haven't done it.
No.
Anything.
Okay. So, Nick, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here, Sabu. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. So can you give us a report real quick?
Sure. I'll put my hand down because I was going to address some of the items that you asked for around the management report, but I'll be very brief. In the Finance Committee report, which was sent yesterday to all the members of the LSB, the spring drive through Monday had received $230,000 on a goal of $250,000. It is expected that more funds will be received because it does not include any of the PayPal or Cash App donations in their full. So the station actually had in excess of $113,000 in the bank at the end of the month, and the issue that the station faces mostly is that we have some arrears in paying central services that are now become more important because of other challenges at other stations. That number is somewhere between $100,000 and $250,000 in amounts owed either through central services or payments made in the last 2 years that we're being asked to address. Jerry and Annette and the staff at NETA are reviewing the payments that have been made over the last 2 years to make sure that they're accurate. It is, there's some real concerns whether or not all the posting of the payments we've made to Pacifica are getting posted correctly. The station does need to be raising money outside of the membership drives, and there's some ideas about potential ways in which to do that.
Nick, point of clarification.
Yes, yes.
Did you say 200,000 is owed to central services would be the highest amount and that it's not yet known?
There are two numbers that constitute what the station owes the national office. Central services number could be as high as 178,000. It is still being worked at what payments are being applied in what ways. And plus there are other payments Pacifica Radio Archives and other payments for other bills in the past that the national office says that the station owes them. That number has an upward bound of about $250,000. So they're working through accounting for what that is and getting a hard number so we could see what our payables to the national office are. I will say that separate from that the station is current on all its other payments. It has made its payments for rent, for tower rent, et cetera. The station does need to raise money outside of the membership drive, and I was about to say that the staff has done a very good job of raising funds through major donors in excess of $55,000 over the last 2 months when it needed it most. I think Jerry has shared that there have been reductions of staff. There was a staff member that decided to not work any longer. There's a staff who took furlough, and there are staff's hours that have been reduced. Jerry estimates that savings is somewhere around $6,000 a month that'll be saved by the reductions in staff. So the small staff, they're tightening their belts in order to have additional funds to pay central services. So I'll stop there and take questions.
Thank you. Did you say that the 150,000, is that just WPFW or is that several stations that own
That's just WPFW that could owe up to $250,000 to the Pacifica National Office.
And that's over a year?
Those are debts that have accumulated over the last 2 years. Okay. 2 years.
Any more questions for Nick?
There's a hand up. Nancy has a hand up.
Nancy?
Hey, Nick. Are we going to have enough money to send, to pay for the CCB, music licensing bill that we owe?
Yes. Yes, we will. We will have funds for that as well as the other, national office bill that we have to pay, that Jerry shared the other night. We will have funds for that as well. These were unexpected payments, but we will be able to make them.
Okay. And so we had 113,000 to begin with, and then we got, how much did we get since we had the fund drive? And then there's some other things that we're expecting. Do you know how much we'll have after we get everything?
Yeah, so I'll refer everyone to the finance report. Through the end of May, we received $211,000 in the month of May. That's a combination of listener support and major donor for the month of May against the budget of $183,000. So we had budgeted, and we did better than our budget in the month of May. We also did better than our budget as far as income is concerned in the month of April, 47,000, over 36,000. So we've done better. How much we're still owed from the PayPal and the other payments, I don't know what that number is. But as what happens typically at the end of a pledge drive that ends at the end of a month is that there's carryover into the next month of payments that are processing through PayPal and through the merchant processor, the credit card processor. So stuff carries over. In addition, you know, we will continue to get the sustainer dollars that were pledged during the membership drive as well. But we got $211,000 in cash into the bank in May.
And right now we have 113,000.
That's right.
And so we'll be able to pay our payroll at the end of this month. Well, we have payroll on the 15th.
That's right.
And we'll have payroll
on the 30th.
On the 30th. Okay.
Yeah. So we should be able to, with the funds that we have on hand, it should be able to get through July, through the end of July, with the cash that we have on hand, including the major donor dollars that we've received. This does not include any dollars that we might receive from the national office based on the SBA PPP program. Yeah. It doesn't include any of that.
Yeah. That's my concern, is that we make it through until we can get that. Hopefully we'll get that and that we can make it through until we get that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Two hands up, Sabu. Sabu, there are two hands up.
He's speaking, but we can't hear him.
Okay, well, let's go with Kathleen. Can you speak now, Kathleen?
Yes, I can, although I think Arthur was on the stack before me.
Okay, Arthur, go. Arthur, please go.
Okay, I just wanted to ask there was a major donor that contributed over $11,000. And I'm wondering if that was included in your figures, the subtraction, which was, I'm not going to say the person's name because it's public, but I'll just say his last name starts with a P.
Okay, so all the major donor funds that we've received are included in the numbers I've provided.
Okay, but one withdrew. That's the one I'm talking about that withdrew his.
Oh, I don't know about that, Arthur, because I'm just telling what the cash we received was, not the pledge.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Kathleen, you go now, please.
Thank you. Nick, I wanted to ask about the $50,000 identified for the HD, was it antenna, or could you just clarify what exactly that is? I know we've got the new transmitter working. Anyway, go ahead.
Sure, Kathleen. So we had put in the budget $50,000 in January that the chief engineer and the general manager had estimated what would cost the station to be able to put the five other HD channels online with the transmitter we have. Those were budgeted expenses that we thought that we're going to take to get that done. We did not have the funds to make those investments, so we did not make them. There are upgrades that are being done by the chief engineer and the general manager around the transmitter to set up for some additional investments, but what it'll allow the station to do would be to have five full streams, additional basically channels that the station could have content and raise money on. And but that was not something we could do because we didn't have the funds to do it. So those amounts are included in the budget, but we did not spend them because we didn't have the funding.
Yes. Okay. I didn't realize in terms of the transmitter that it was going to be an additional $50,000 to get our additional HD channels. So that was a surprise to me, which is why I'm asking. So that's an extremely lost resource at this point due to the lack of funds.
Yeah, it is. And there's also an issue I'd have to say too, just the capacity to get that done, now given, reductions in staff and, the further restrictions on time that working from home have placed on the existing staff.
Okay, I understand. That's too bad. It's just sort of a huge, huge loss. Thank you so much.
Sabu, are you back? We can't hear you, Sabu. Tony, can you take back over the meeting, please?
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Any are there? Let me see. I don't see any more hands up. Is there anything else, Nick, to report?
The only other thing I would want to say is that there were some comments in previous meetings about disclosing donors, be they donors who were anonymous or not, and I would just caution as strongly as I possibly can that anybody who gives a gift to the station anonymously, that we must respect that. I've got 30 years in banking and not-for-profit management, and I've never seen a case where any donor that gave anonymously had their identity revealed. And I would strongly urge the LSB not to ever force or ask the management to reveal anonymous donors. It not only impacts the donor's ability to give to us, but would also greatly diminish our ability to receive donations from other anonymous donors in the future. So I just strongly caution against doing anything of that nature.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
In your experience with that, who were the people who were privileged to have that information?
In my experience, it's only the staff. It's only the staff that would be the general, the general manager and or the development officer. Those are the people who solicited the gift, and that would be it. That would not be information that would be shared with any board that I've been a part of.
I'm sorry, your voice started bleeding. All I heard was staff. What would you say?
It would be you know, in our case, the general manager, development director, whoever solicited the gift. That information would not be shared with anyone else.
Nancy has her hand up. Nancy has her hand up.
Nancy, you had a floor.
I wanted to ask a follow-up question on that. So,
hey, Nancy, some people in front of you?
Sorry?
Is anybody in front of you? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Okay. She's the only one.
So I guess where would you have in the organization's policy any stipulation that the person who gives money, there would not be any strings attached to it? And how would that be monitored if that, you know, in our case, I think that's, you know, part of our policy. And so how would that be monitored?
Well, you're talking about, I think, in the case of a restricted gift, and it's up to the staff to identify any restricted gifts, and they would count that money as restricted. My knowledge, we have not received any restricted gifts in the form of anonymous donations, and therefore that wouldn't apply in our case. If it's a restricted gift, and the staff needs to monitor the gift and the restrictions and comply with that.
Can I answer your question, Nancy?
Sort of.
And Nancy, just to expound for a second, I mean, you know, obviously we have a controller, we have a CFO, that is acting as our, you know, the CFO of the organization would also know of any, restricted gifts, an anonymous donor in that case to be able to reflect the, restrictions and be able to discuss that with the auditors when audited financial statements are being prepared. Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, we had a big donor years back that restricted his donation to purchasing a building.
Roger the stat.
And I'm just, you know, so...
Roger, just raise your hand.
And so that was known, that was reported to the LSB.
That's because he wanted
I suppose you can do that without, divulging the name of the donor. You can say this money is restricted to.
That's correct. He did not donate anonymously, and therefore.
That's right.
Yes, but if we had an anonymous donor that provided a restricted gift, which I've been familiar with in administering in the past myself, then that. Donation is just known as restricted, but the donor's identity is not revealed.
Okay. And is the topic or the item subject for which the money is restricted also confidential, or
no?
Is that No.
Okay. No, we would not be. No, it's just the identity of the donor that is kept confidential, but the purpose of the funds would not be confidential.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Perez and then Malloy. Lucy Perez. Okay.
All right. I'm on. Marcia is, Marcia cannot hear. She is muted from the central bank. So if you can unmute her so that she can hear. Marcia Coleman Adebayo.
Okay, thank you. John, you heard that? John, did you hear that?
Mr. Chair, let me ask if Marcia can hear anybody now. Marcia, can you hear anybody? Mr. Chair, the problem
with,
you can hear now? Are you there? Marcia? Okay, what I'm
saying. Marcia sent me a text saying that she couldn't hear.
Okay, well here's what I'm going
to
do.
She was placed on hold, she said.
Okay, Mr. Chair, what I'm going to do is you go call on Kathleen and then I'm going to admit Marcia
Ms.
back.
Malloy?
Yeah, and I'm going to admit Marcia back into the meeting right now, okay?
Ms. Malloy, question?
Yeah, yes, Kathleen is just fine. Just make a comment that I sent, I believe, to everyone on the LSB information about the gift acceptance policy, which is the standard way that an organization can put in restrictions and guidance and all the rest for accepting gifts. So that's pretty straightforward and simple, and I would just recommend everyone to take a look at that if there are concerns.
Okay,
Thomas?
Yeah, I just simply I would point out that or ask actually the finance committee, Ms. Nick or Nancy, do you know are there currently any policies regarding this other than what Nick just said that he recommends regarding confidentiality? And the second question I have is with the people that are, for example, getting shows like the Code Pink, like the German Goethe Institute, are they making donations that are line itemed that you all are seeing on a regular basis?
So Thomas, to your second question, don't know the answer. That is a question for staff. We don't have that breakout in the information we received. On your first question, as far as policy, I don't know where in policy I would, you know, go for that. This is standard business practice that any not-for-profit with a 501c3 should be operating under.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Chair, this is a parliamentarian. I wanted to remind Thomas that he did not raise his hand. And I have Marcia back.
Excuse me, John. I'm not on camera.
Okay,
speaking.
Listen, there's a way to raise your hand. We taught it at the beginning. You push star 9, and you can raise your hand. Star 9, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I have Marcia Coleman Adebayo back on the line. Are you there?
Okay, thank you.
Are you there, Marcia? Marcia, are you there?
Okay, I guess she's not. Okay, any more questions for Nick? No more? Okay, thank you, Nick. Okay, next up. I saw you did community comments. The LSB comments, we can bypass. Anybody got anything, comments real quick about the LSB comments? No? Yes? Okay, P&B reports and committees. B&B reports and committees.
This is, may I be recognized, Chair?
Yes.
This is Vanessa. I'm the newest member of the P&B, so I don't know what the process is for us to do a report. I mean, like just among the P&B members. I don't know if there was some sort of process before. So this is like the second time we've been asked to do a report, and I don't believe we gave one before, but I would like for us to do that. I think that would be responsible. So I guess I'm asking my fellow P&B members, you know, what do we need to do to be able to report back to the LSC?
Okay. Ron, are you still on?
I have my hand up.
Oh, Ellen, Eileen, okay. Eileen?
Yeah. I'll reply to Vanessa. Vanessa, why don't you, maybe you could organize that, you know, after our P&B meetings, you know, whether we have a chat on the phone among the four of us or if we do something by email, maybe you could make some suggestions for how to do that. I can report, and, you know, maybe you can send us all an email as to whether or not you accept that or if you have another suggestion. I can report on the audit committee. Just to let you know, we're really in the home stretch now to finish the fiscal year 2018 audit. We're kind of looking at a preliminary pre-draft version and waiting for a few updates from NETA. So I expect to have a draft in our hands within the next couple of days. And then we'll meet on Tuesday, I hope, and have it approved by the P&B on Thursday of next week. That's my hope.
Okay, thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
Vanessa to the staff. Other
Vanessa.
P&B.
Vanessa, come on.
Okay, alrighty. So in terms of the P&B report, I guess I really did not expect for my question about what the process is for it to be bounced back over my lap since I've only been on there a few months. I'm happy to help, but what did you all do before? Have the P&B members never given a report? Is this something brand new? I know that when I was on the LSB previously, years ago, P&B members gave a report. So I'm happy to help, but I don't want it kind of plopped in my lap as my responsibility because I raised it as an issue.
In the past, you know, they have given reports all last year since I've been here. So if you don't, you know, have anything, don't put that in your lap. You have several people that's on that committee with you. So just get with them, and then you can figure out what y'all need to do for the next meeting.
Three hands up, Sapu.
Okay, who else is...
I can respond.
Yeah, go ahead.
Me? Okay, yeah, just, you know, you brought it up. It's a great idea. We've generally kind of ad-libbed about the various committees that we know about or on major things going on the P&B that we think the LSB might want to know about, but it's not a bad idea at all to organize it a little more. I mean, I just admit you could start it and you wouldn't have to do it forever. It was just an idea. I'm on I chair one committee and I'm on at least one more and have other duties. I can't take on any more, but I would if I had to. Nancy, I hope you were going to report on some of the latest, especially the Finance Committee. I'll mute now.
Sure. I will be happy to organize a meeting between the four of us where we can decide on a way to organize the P&B report. I mean, we have in the past each contributed what we know or remember and what went on since the last meeting and sort of fill each other in on, you know, what the LSB
needs to know. With respect to what happened since the last time, I mean, I think it would be good if we had an organized way of doing it, because that way we won't have to struggle to remember what we want to report like tonight. But we did have a town hall meeting a couple weeks ago that the PNB organized. We had a speaker, two speakers, Chris Hedges and Margaret Kimberly, and they spoke for an hour, we had this town hall on a Zoom meeting, and that was followed by 3 hours of reports by the PNB, and then question and answers by people who joined the Zoom meeting. And Eileen was on the whole time managing the Zoom meeting, and that was so that was like a 4-hour town hall. And we're planning to do another one, I think, this month in June. We got requests from the people that called in to have a meeting on finances. There's still a lot of people with questions about the loan and what are we doing to plan for paying that back, and where are we on, just kind of to have a update on where we are financially. Last night there was a National Finance Committee meeting, which I was on and Nick is on. Nick, if I forget anything, let me know. We passed a motion to start paying our accountants back the back money that we owe them, to make that a priority after we do payroll. Things are pretty tight right now at the national level. Lydia, our interim executive director, has been working very hard to try to get these two loans, the Paycheck Protection Program loan, which will cover us for a month of payroll and some operating expenses. And although it's a loan, if we do not lay anyone off, then we don't have to pay it back. There's another loan that we are applying for. It's called the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan, From Disaster Loan. IDLE, for the acronym is IDLE, pronounced IDLE. And that's a loan that we have applied for $2 million, I think. And the PPP loan is for a little over $1 million. And so, that will get the network through, a couple months, to survive our COVID, the COVID disaster, and, surviving the drop that we have in fundraising. However, we had some glitches in it, in that some of our station people had applied
George
for a loan
Parker.
Also, and they can't do that, and so it ended up blocking the Nationals application, and so we're delayed in getting these loans, although Lydia thinks she has it straightened out now. But we may have already gotten them if the people at the, at the stations had not duplicated using our EIN number for these loans. I'm trying to think what else was at the National Finance Committee meeting. I think that was basically it for the National Finance Committee meetings.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big thing now, is we are, we're really to the wire right now because of COVID. Oh, there's also national programming that was planned by people on the PNB and other people Ron is involved in the COVID task force that plans programming around the COVID disaster, COVID crisis, pandemic crisis. And also there was a show that was put together by a fellow from KPFT, I can't remember his name, plus Verna Avery Brown and Polina Vasileva from KPFK on George Floyd, the meaning of George Floyd's death. And I think that was a 2-hour program, and I believe it was aired on WPFW. I don't know what time that was at. But that's so in addition to the ongoing COVID programming that is being done, a weekly program, now they've started doing additional programming for the Black Lives Matters protests.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else with questions for the BNB? Okay. All right. Thank you.